GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A win for House Speaker Mike Johnson as the House passes a budget blueprint meant to deliver on President Trump's agenda.
This is the first important step in opening up the reconciliation process. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but we are going to deliver the America First agenda. We're going to deliver all of it, not just parts of it, and this was the first step in that process.
The bill includes $4.5 trillion in tax breaks and trillions in spending cuts as well. President Trump introducing a new way to become an American citizen, paying for it. Instead of a green card, it would be a gold card. The cost, $5 million. The first Trump administration cabinet meeting will happen today, and Elon Musk will be there to talk more about his Department of Government Efficiency. More than 21 computer engineers and project managers who worked with DOGE are resigning in protest, saying they disagree with the dismantling of critical government services. From the Vatican, Pope Francis is said to have had another quiet night in the hospital. This is ABC News. It may look like the same name, but a military base in North Carolina will go back to being called Fort Bragg. It was changed the first time to Fort Liberty to remove the connection to Confederate General Braxton Bragg, but this Fort Bragg is getting named after a different service member.
This time, the North Carolina military installation will be named in honor of Private First Class Ronald Bragg, who earned a Purple Heart and Silver Star during World War II. Dr. Salvatore Mercogliano, Campbell University Department of History.
I think Bragg was selected, obviously, for his name.
PFC Bragg's daughter, Deborah Sokol, is 72 years old and lives in Maine.
He'd be humble, but he'd be surprised. And he'd be very pleased.
Sokol says her father trained at Fort Bragg before heading overseas. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Florida Man Games are back this year. It's the athletic competition that pokes fun at those stories featuring bizarre and outrageous events that seem to originate all the time from the Sunshine State. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Foggy with scattered rain and snow showers this morning, and then it will stay mostly cloudy here all day today. Our high, 42 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 42. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, rain and snow showers, 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll be moving with the mail corps. Ben and Deanna will join us.
Plus, Sarah Connery will fill us in on the Authors Among Us book fair coming up this weekend. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The NBA All-Star Game is, let's split up the teams. Let's figure out how these players can actually compete with each other. Let's just have mini tournaments on a Sunday. Name the teams after TNT on-air personalities. This does not give me any pleasure at all. I love the NBA. I look forward to the future, but this ain't it. This ain't it at all.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Good morning on this Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Ben Jarbo, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. The temperature seems to be remaining fairly even for the past couple days, staying in that warmer trend. And we'll hear more about that in just a few moments with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Also on tap for today, I was able to catch up with Kip Eidenberg, the Senior Vice President of Government and Industry Relations with AEM, to see how the steel and aluminum tariffs are affecting their industry. And it is a Wednesday, so Farm Director Pam Yonke was able to catch up with Randy Kath with the Steffes Group to tell us about some of the auctions that they have coming up this spring. Also, Stephanie Hoff joins the show with Tamas Houlihan to see how the potato and vegetable industry is preparing for this upcoming growing season. But first, Charity Seebecker joins us with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs Executive Director, Jamie Buckey, on how they are taking new steps to strengthen the fair industry. There's a lot of excitement on deck today, so make sure to stick around.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
You know, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage, shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
Fairs have always been more than just summer events. They're a place where communities come together, traditions thrive, and memories are made. But as times change, so do the challenges of keeping fairs relevant and engaging for future generations. So how do we ensure that the next wave of exhibitors, volunteers, and fairgoers stay just as passionate about these experiences? I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and the Wisconsin Association of Fairs Executive Director, Jamie Buckey, shares how they're taking some bold steps to revamp their approach to strengthening the fair industry for years to come.
2 years ago, we sat down with, and the board said it's time for strategic planning. It took us kind of a year to figure out what we wanted to do, but we're like, what are our member benefits? Where do we want that next level of the fair industry to be? Where is our next level of exhibitors? And we really had to take a hard look and say, what is WAF providing? And a hard look would be like, what are we providing and where are we going? So that's where we just, the brand is new. It's all about that next group that's going to lead, both now here as a board member, but that next person who's going to even be showing at your fair. That's probably the more crucial part, in all honesty.
So can you elaborate on the new culture that you guys are introducing then to help fair boards better market themselves? What trainings are they being provided to help with that? Because that's a hard thing to do, to convince, like you said, that next generation, that is the most important generation, to step up.
I went to a session in May, and I met Ian Hill at a conference for other people who do my job, right? So I met him, and I cannot explain. There was this, he had this it of, he just gets it, and I can't explain what it is, but once you talk to him and, like, it's common sense reality of where we need to go, and it was like, oh, we need this for the fair industry. It just resonated with me. Talked to the board. I'm like, you know, you need to meet this man. We need to find out where that next volunteer is coming from. He's got resources about, you know, recruiting and fundraising, but it's really like, how do you take the retiring generation and how do you take that next generation who maybe doesn't want to volunteer and get them in with everything? And we brought them. We changed convention and said, we're doing 3 days of this. And Ian just rocked it. And we also said, we're changing our spring district meetings. We're going to do community meetings and just get all of our fairs the right tools step by step. This is what we need to be doing. We need to be sending the same message because we need to share how important the fair industry is. It is, you know, where else can you go? And, you know, I laugh all the time. It's like food, fiber, fuel, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, it's so true. Every part of our fair touches ag, but people don't know it. And so we really just need to say, educate, make people love the fair that don't love the fair, and get everybody to understand how important it is. And then eventually, what's that next step that we do? And can we make sure everyone loves fairs but also understands agriculture? It's a process, but let's get everybody to love the fair.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that fairs are currently facing then that led to this initiative? Why now? Why was this facelift needed now? I know you kind of touched on you're doing it, but what was it really that hitting home factor for you guys?
So I think a big thing, ARPA funds end in this year. And so there were lots of grants that our fairs had coming out of the pandemic. And now those funds are starting to end. And now fairs are starting to get, whether it's through UW Extension or in other manners. Well, yeah, we were successful and we got more money for stated premiums, but there's a whole lot more stuff we need to do. So we need to educate our counties, especially those that have county run fairs, to be like, the fair is a vital part of your community. And we need to market ourselves, and we haven't been doing that, which is, again, that came back to our strategic planning and said, let's create a marketing tool for everybody to use. So we're working on ag education in the classroom. So we did update our fourth grade education packet. We want to create something that you can take into the schools in your fourth grade, and then you can have a one-page sheet that says, now come and exhibit at the fair. And even if they don't come and exhibit at the fair, come to the fair. And I think from there, we have all these different ideas of, well, let's provide this or let's provide that. Like, we have open Pandora's box on excitement about creating tools that every fair can use so they don't all have to reinvent the wheel. We've always wanted to do that, but we finally have, like, no, we're spending the money. We're doing it. We're committing to providing that resource so that our fairs have the best member benefits that they can.
And county fairs, they are known for fostering community, those connections, the youth engagement, the happiness. My fair family is also a big part of my life, just like many of us. So do you think that these aspects have been overlooked in the past? Or how is this revamp really going to highlight those impacts and those things that really stand true to what the fair industry is?
People don't toot their own horn. That is just something that the people in our fair industry don't do. So, like, to get people to get recognized for award, they're like, no, you don't need to really do it. It's this whole group of us who does it. I'm like, I get that. But in the same token, we as a fair industry don't sell our story because we just assumed it would always sell ourselves. And I think we're to a point that we have to sell it because we've had too many people far enough removed that haven't done the full experience. If it's not in their fair blood, then they're missing it, or they're like, well, I'm going to go to a festival. Or, but we also have to change our approach on how we reach volunteers. We need to have, what do you want to do at our fair, and make the volunteer component that they want to do fun as well. Ian posed this whole different way to look at your volunteer, and that's a different generation. He'll talk, you know, you're in this transition period of, no, people don't volunteer like they used to. They don't work in service clubs like they used to. Well, okay, then down the road, who's even going to be your service clubs, you know, working for your fair and that kind of stuff. So there's a long term, you're looking, you're like, man, we have so many things, and we just cannot lose sight of the importance of the fair industry in general. So let's just go.
So how can fairs kind of build on some of these traditions that we've been talking about and really appeal to these modern audiences? Are there key things? I know you mentioned there's quite a few resources that you guys are coming out with, but what are some of those key things that they can start doing now to implement?
Okay, who is your circle of influence and what are they good at? If you really sit and think about the people who can influence your fair, who are your worker bees, who are that love the fair, and they're getting burnt out, right? But if we can find things that to assist them or that next group of people that might be able to assist one or two things and make a job easier for someone, that would be awesome. But we don't want to lose the history or the tradition of the fair industry, right? We don't want to do that. But we have to adapt to what that next volunteer needs to do. So how we used to say, once someone says come volunteer at the fair, no, can you spare an hour or two? Can you help me with bookkeeping? Can you help me with social media? Can I trade services? But it's a snippet at a time versus come and be on the fair board and la da da da. People's time is different for their availability than it used to be. So let's talk through those things too.
Can you share more? You mentioned you're having a new website. Can you share more about the plans for that and how it's going to be more, in a sense, user friendly and just beneficial to not only the public to come learn about the Association of Fairs, but for those fair boards themselves?
One of the things we kind of learned, we are a member only organization. So we have associate members and we have fair members, but they pay dues to be part of our association. And we found that we had groups of followers, but really how we were using our page was really to tell information to our members. And yet we had this Ferris of the Fairs who is like doing social media for us, and we have a new one every year. We keep the audience we have, plus we build on a new audience depending upon who she knows. And we're like, you know what? I think that's the media we need to focus on. So I think the social media presence is just going to change in general. But we're also trying to find a resource page where provide an environment for our fair members who are leading that they can have like that constant, like, so you might not see it from the public, but behind the scenes, we're sharing documents, we're sharing templates, we're sharing like, oh, this is a form I can go. One person created the wheel, all 75 fairs can go and take it. We are a family, we network, we share, but we're going to find a format where people can share those things, do more of a member-only place that we, like a Facebook group type of thing, but we're suddenly like, hey, I'm having this issue, bounce it off, but more in the live current technology that it is versus, oh, send me an email, would you call, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think those are some of the great things. We're also trying, Lena, I know it may sound funny, but we take so many photos, but when you try to find stock photos of, like, the fair, or like, oh, here's a good corn dog, or that kind of stuff, they truly don't exist. They exist, but they don't. It's really kind of funny when you search different things for the fairs. So we're trying to find some of that stuff. But our fairs have that. But now let's make an area on our site where they can, you know, have those types of things. And then the other part goes back to that educational part. So if we can have an educational page that as we, you know, unveil an educational tool, the fairs can have it, but the public can see it. Your teachers can go get it. Our goal is, if we have this educational packet unveiled, complete, then how about every fall, our goal is to provide one more layer of an educational tool, which is really, really important.
That's Jamie Bootkey, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Fairs, along with us. As fairs continue to evolve, the heart of these events remains the same, bringing people together to celebrate agriculture, community, and tradition. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Will Westmoreland is a farmer in southwestern Missouri. He has some explanations on why we are where we are today. It's really important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Maybe not so much, but, you know, we've got a lot of year to go yet. And as we wrap up this month of February, we certainly have seen a turn to more mild weather. It was just about 2 weeks ago Saturday where we had a lot of snow and a lot of folks were dealing with snow and cleanup. Well, in the last couple of days, that snow has really disappeared. We've melted things off. Water's running everywhere. That will continue today, but we're adding to it. We have to talk about a small system that's going to pass just south of Wisconsin today that is providing some light rain. Rain and some snowflakes up around Wausau and just over toward Shawano County up into the northeast part of the state. Otherwise, rain further south. Hasn't been too heavy. I see a whole 500ths of an inch so far at La Crosse, Mauston at 200ths of an inch, and even Wausau reporting 200ths of an inch. None of the other airports indicating that rain has been measurable yet, but we'll have some rain around for a time today, maybe lingering on toward midday in some areas. At most a tenth of an inch. I don't expect a whole lot more than that. Another disturbance passing to the north may keep a little rain chance around early this evening and keep some clouds around in northern Wisconsin into Thursday. And yet one more fast-moving low, we're calling them clippers, it will dive on toward Wisconsin and especially in the northern part of the state by later Friday or into Friday night, lead to some rain, maybe some snow. There may even be a little accumulating snow in the far northeast parts of Wisconsin as we head toward Friday night. In the south, maybe a few more clouds. That's about it. With each of these systems, temperatures rise and lower somewhat. But overall, we stay pretty mild yet this week. Cooling a lot closer to normal, at least just to start the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Well, Stu, I'm having some technical difficulties here. What else can you tell us about the weather coming up for this week?
Well, Ben, it's not a problem. Our Compere Financial Ag Weather Forecast then does include clouds, some patchy fog, and rain, especially in central and southern Wisconsin this morning. Should be ending toward midday in the west, later in the afternoon further east, and I'm expecting temps today almost statewide. Low 40s north, mid 40s south, very mild, and southeast winds 5 to 10 today. They'll become northwest in the afternoon. That small rain chance still say about the southern half of the state this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy overnight. Now, here's where things change. We drop down to freezing and just below. So everything that's thawed and melted and the new rain we've seen, that will freeze up, making it kind of slick and slippery later tonight and into Thursday morning. Keep that one filed away so when you hit the road tomorrow, you don't run into a slippery spot you weren't expecting. By Thursday, I'd expect more sun in the south. Call it partly sunny with low 40s, some clouds north, and maybe only in the upper 30s with the northwest winds about 5 to 15. A little gusty, more breezy Thursday, gusting up to 30. And by Friday, mostly sunny south, more clouds north, breezy without a doubt in the very low 50s in the south. Maybe only mid-40s north, that rain then developing in the northern part of the state as we head toward the afternoon, maybe snowflakes into Friday night, and then we cool it off, Ben, and like I talked about, you know, here we're going to be talking in southern Wisconsin, low 50s on Friday, And we could very well drop almost 20 degrees for Saturday, but only for a quick hit, warming back up into the 40s and better right around next week. So as March starts, it may be a little cool, but I think we'll still have some pretty fair weather in store.
Well, do you think this is the kind of going to be the norm for now, or is this more of a false fall or false spring here?
I think we're getting a little treat. We'll accept that. I mean, the extended forecast of the 7th of March indicating that more normal or somewhat above normal temperature, and that's great. But I wouldn't be surprised at all toward the middle of the month we see some changes.
All right, thank you, Stu. That was your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is a financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit CompeerFinancial.com.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A win for House Speaker Mike Johnson as the House passes a budget blueprint meant to deliver on President Trump's agenda.
This is the first important step in opening up the reconciliation process. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but we are going to deliver the America First agenda. We're going to deliver all of it, not just parts of it. And this was the first step in that process.
The bill includes $4.5 trillion in tax breaks and trillions in spending cuts as well. President Trump introducing a new way to become an American citizen, paying for it. Instead of a green card, it would be a gold card. The cost, $5 million. The first Trump administration cabinet meeting will happen today, and Elon Musk will be there to talk more about his Department of Government Efficiency. More than 21 computer engineers and project managers who worked with DOGE are resigning in protest, saying they disagree with the dismantling of critical government services. From the Vatican, Pope Francis is said to have had another quiet night in the hospital. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Justin Bieber have taken to social media to voice their concern for the singer. Bieber's recent public appearances have shown him looking disheveled, gaunt, and exhausted, prompting rumors that the pop star is using drugs again. Bieber says he is overtired because he actively parents his newborn son and has been holding late-night recording sessions. Reps for Bieber have adamantly denied that the pop star is using hard drugs again. More to come, I'm sure. Evel Knievel was one of the most popular motorcycle stuntmen in the world, and at times was even successful. According to Puberty.com, Leonardo DiCaprio is in talks to play Knievel in a new biopic. Legend has it that over the course of his career, Knievel broke 433 of the 205 bones in his body. In 1971, Evel Knievel jumped his motorcycle over 19 cars, a record that stood until it was finally broken in 1998 by none other than... no idea. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at the NFL Scouting Combine, where over 300 of the top college football players are here to meet and work out for NFL teams. It's also a chance to meet with players' agents. But Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's focused on the draft.
For me, it's more about getting to know these college players and making sure that the time we spend, not only in the interviews, but watching them compete on the field, you know, the weigh-ins, just everything that they do here, just kind of immersing yourself in that to get to know these guys as well as you can. You don't have this opportunity again. This is kind of a 1 week. So to me, that's the priority.
College hoops. Wisconsin over Washington, 88-62. Marquette down Providence, 82-52. The Bucks losing to the Rockets in Houston by 3, 100-97.
We just didn't play right. They kept getting stops, but then we kept going down, turning the ball over and making bad plays on our own.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Peach Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Jamie McShane, one of the stars of the new season of 1923. And Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas joins with Oscar predictions. The night is basically already lit.
Nightlight with Peach Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Foggy with scattered rain and snow showers this morning, and then it will stay mostly cloudy here all day today. Our high, 42 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 31. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 42. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, rain and snow showers, 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
But did well in the passing game with returning to some of those power roots. And the jury's still out, but he's won the offseason.
Maybe peel back the curtain here a little bit. What did Phil Longo's offense do well?
Well, obviously the numbers were terrible.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you on this Wednesday morning. And as these temperatures are starting to rise, I'm sure it's got some farmers thinking about the upcoming planting season. This is especially true in the potato and vegetable industry. Stephanie Hoff was able to catch up with Tamas Houlihan, the executive director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, to see what the producers have been talking about most recently and some of those new advancements to better the industry for 2025. Take it away, Stephanie.
So while nothing is green outside yet, it doesn't mean that growers are not thinking about the planting season. Tamas Houlihan joins us. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. He says there's a lot of preparation that goes into a successful growing season, even from an association standpoint, not just on the farm. As Tamas meets with his grower and industry members, he says there are a few key themes that come to the forefront for 2025.
And each grower is a little different, whether they're growing for the fresh market, grocery store sales, whether they're a chip stock grower for Frito-Lay. We have, you know, our French fry growers for McCain Foods, and they all have a slightly different niche. We have our seed production region in Antigo, and so we've got all these different segments of our industry. But I would say one of the biggest things going into this season is just technology and how technology has really improved our industry, and it's helped with environmental stewardship. You mentioned water quality. Well, the more we can do with soil moisture sensors and with weather data, we can really fine-tune our irrigation scheduling and put on the right amount of water at the right times. Same with nutrient applications. With better technology, we can really do what I call prescription farming, where you're hitting the exact amounts at the exact right times and really optimizing your production, whether it's potatoes or peas or beans or sweet corn. I mean, we do represent all these vegetables in our Wisconsin production systems.
Tamas, give us a visual here. When you're talking about agriculture technology, is it the drone? And how big is that for people who haven't, you know, been in front of a drone? Is it a laser on some kind of piece of equipment? What are you talking about?
It could be any and all. I mean, we do have some presentations on laser sprayers that can eliminate weeds. And it's amazing how accurate these little lasers are on like robotic pieces of machinery that roll down the rows, laser burning off the weeds. And, you know, there is environmentally friendliness in action, too. It's no chemicals. It's a laser. And it's pinpoint accuracy. Talking about drones, I mean, we've seen presentations on those. We're seeing more and more crop inputs applied with drones. They don't have as big a payload, obviously, as an aerial applicator or a big ground sprayer, but they certainly have applications in, you know, heavily saturated soils where you can't get a ground rig in, And maybe if we've got a wet growing season like we did last year, the aerial applicators are too busy. And so some growers are saying, I got to be able to go when I got to go. And they're getting drones and they're using them for their, you know, chemical inputs in a lot of cases.
You also highlighted research. You know, it's not just the technology, but it's also your research partners with people on farm, maybe the commercial side of the business, and also the University of Wisconsin. What's been the most surprising piece of research that you've seen since this time last year?
Another really good question. Yeah, well, we're doing more and more with water quality topics. And there's a new professor in the Department of Agro-Ecosystem Science at UW-Madison, Dr. Stephen Hall. And he is taking a look at some really interesting projects. One of them involves removing vines from potato fields. After you kill the vines, you can remove them and then convert them into biochar, which is another great, like a compost product to enrich the soil. And Dr. Hall has also done some work with liquid cover crops. It's a certain type of substance that can also reduce nitrate leaching, and it's all aimed at water quality. And those issues are always in the forefront for our industry on this sandy soil in central Wisconsin. So we need to constantly look at ways to be better at irrigation and to reduce the leaching of nutrients into the groundwater.
A lot of what we've talked about today has been about community effort. It takes a village. It's not just the people who are growing potatoes and vegetables. It's the people in research. It's the people in agribusiness. With everything that you guys do, including water quality and watersheds, and I know that's been a big focus for growers who have volunteered to come together to make a difference.
Yes. Collaboration is the key. It's such a great word in our industry, and it's so true from all the different aspects. We work together to try to create positive outcomes in our industry. And yeah, whether it's university people or agency people or, you know, private businesses as well as the growers, we all have a seat at the table and we work together, and we're all stakeholders. We all want, you know, clean water and clean air and good food. And so, yeah, the collaboration is really evident here at our grower conference and industry show in Stevens Point. And it is, it's kind of the watchword for our whole industry, is we all have to work together. It takes a village.
And if people want to learn more about what the association is doing, where's the best place to go?
Probably our website, wisconsinpotatoes.com. And we have another one that's very environmentally oriented called farmersforcleanwater.com. And so I would recommend both of those sites. If you're just interested in the food, go to eatwisconsinpotatoes.com.
Several ways to connect with Wisconsin's potato and vegetable industry. Wisconsin is the largest potato producing state east of the Mississippi River. We rank number 3 overall for potato production. Tamas Houlihan joining us. He leads the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie. And with these temperatures warming up, while many of you are thinking of that upcoming planting season, I'm also thinking about the fishing season. And if you are able to get out there today and find some open water, I would suggest looking in deep pockets during the mornings and evenings, and then during the midday when the sun's out and it's beating down more, those fish are going to try to come up to sunbathe and get into that warmer water temps. And when you're fishing in those warmer water temps, those middays, I might try a jerk bait with the long pauses in the middle there, just to give them time to react, because they are going to be hungry, just a bit lethargic, so you might need a little time. And in those deeper pockets, I would be going with the drop shots, you know, wacky rig, just those things that are slower, work them slow down there. And maybe try some of the red baits, or green always works too, and maybe even a bluegill with a little blue in there. And when it comes to fishing, I just spent a ton of money at the Wisconsin Fishing Expo this last weekend. And on the money trend there, let's look at what makes you money with the markets this Wednesday morning. A bit of a mix this morning as cash corn is up 3/4, up 480.5, and new crop corn remains even at 470. Cash soybeans are down 2.5 at 1028.75, and new crop soybeans are down 3 at 1048. March wheat is up 3/4 at 573.5, and July wheat is also up 3/4 at 603. Class 3 milk contracts from March are down 2 cents at 1868 a hundredweight, and April contracts are up 11 cents at 1851 a hundredweight. Yesterday, barrels of cheese closed down 3 quarters at 179 and a quarter, and 40-pound blocks remained even at 188. And butter finished down 2.5 at 234 and a half. Pam Yonke joins our friends with the Steffes Group next. Make sure to stick around.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. It is a Wednesday, which means it is time to catch up with our friends over at the Steffes Group. Farm Director Pam Yonke is joined by Randy Kath to see what is happening in the auction world this spring.
It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFESgroup.com. And again, remember, they're all across Wisconsin, but more than that, all across the United States and now into Canada. Randy Kass along with me from the Steffes Group. They haven't made you travel up to Canada yet, have they, Randy?
Oh, I spent a lot of time there in my youth, so they probably won't let me back in. I'm not sure, but no, I haven't had to go up there yet.
That's because Randy's been pretty busy running around Wisconsin getting all kinds of spring sales lined up. Looks like you got a pretty good slate, and you don't have to drive very far in Wisconsin if you're still old school and want to kick tires.
Absolutely. We've got a nice lineup of spring auctions coming, starting out with the Nate Lease Equipment Auction, closing on February 26th. He's just south of Mondovi, north of Mondovi. Really, really clean line of equipment, including a like new Case IH high-speed planter, super high-powered New Holland front-wheel assist tractor. Closing on March 11th up in Pulaski, we've got the Berna Acres Farm Retirement Auction. Wonderful lineup of equipment, high-end equipment, very, very exceptionally well taken care of. Full line of equipment from harvest down to planting. A lot of New Holland tractors, low-hour items on that sale. A lot of trucks and hoppers, things, you know, pretty much something for everybody on that deal. Then we get the David Mullen estate closing on April 1st. He's down in Shellsburg, an estate auction. Really low-acre items there. A lot of hay and forage equipment there. A lot of stuff that David had purchased new. Just a super sharp, clean line of equipment.
Now, if people are thinking about a spring auction, Randy, how are you feeling? You know, you got a lot of folks around Wisconsin that are kind of hemming and hawing, watching prices, that kind of thing. None of us getting any younger. How do you start the conversation with them if they're thinking about it?
Well, first and foremost, there's no better time than now to start the conversation. And that's the key, is just making that call right away, and we'll come out and visit with you, help you find out what's in your best interest. Bottom line, we're going to try to lead you in the direction of what's best for you, not what's best for us. So if it's not in the cards at this point, maybe it will be in the future, and we'll come and see you when you're ready. But bottom line, make the call, get us on site, costs nothing, everything is confidential, and we're here to help.
How many miles would you estimate you put on an ear?
Well, funny you should ask that. Last year, unfortunately, I think maybe I was the leading mileage guy in the company, but last year I put on about 70,000 miles on the truck.
And he says it with a smile. Can you believe that? And he can stand upright. How about that? That is our friend, Randy Kath, from the Steffes Group. A lot of Wisconsin auctions that are coming up with some great equipment if you want to take a look. It's all online, you know, with great pictures, and they'll give you connections directly with all the farmers that owned it and the people that are involved. Steffesgroup.com. That's STEFFESgroup.com. Don't forget, you can also give them a call, and they're ready to help you with that next auction decision. That's Randy Kath, along with us from the Steffes Group.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature.
A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project is here, along with State Senator Sarah Kayeski, talking about a right to repair bill. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
We know from the statements by the Canadian government that if U.S. tariffs, as the president indicated earlier this year, if U.S. tariffs are imposed on Canadian and Mexican goods, then Canada will respond in force, and one of the first items they will target is agriculture equipment. And if you look at the numbers from 2024, our industry exported as a whole, and so this would be all equipment, all parts, all components, all attachments across all segments, $9.9 billion to Canada. And so part of that obviously is agriculture equipment, and attachments, parts and components for agriculture equipment. And if the Canadian government responds with a 10% tariff, on those goods, that is not only bad news for U.S. equipment manufacturers, it's bad news for Canadian farmers and ranchers, and then there will obviously be additional retaliatory tariffs on U.S. commodities, which is bad for U.S. farmers and ranchers. So this tit-for-tat tariff war that we are currently engaged in is bad news all around for our industry and for our customers, meaning farmers and ranchers.
Well, if we look, doesn't China already have tariffs on U.S. equipment?
The Chinese have also responded and have put in place already tariffs on U.S. Exports to China, including equipment. So already we're seeing an impact on the industry. And the other part to this that has not received nearly as much attention is that the start-stop exercise that we are currently, or that the administration is currently engaged in with regard to tariffs, you know, promising or threatening or imposing tariffs one day, walking them back the next day, that uncertainty is bad news for U.S. equipment manufacturers, agriculture equipment manufacturers included, because it makes it impossible to plan. And what it's going to do, it's going to grind investment to a halt. It's going to lead to hiring freezes. It's going to stymie research and development. And so you'll start seeing that impact as the year goes on. And that's bad news for the industry, and it's bad news for our customers, right? What we want to do is we want to invest more. We want to grow equipment manufacturing in America. We want to increase market export so that, or market access so that we can export more equipment. And if you ask farmers and ranchers, they want the same thing, right? They want increased market access for them to sell their produce. And we want to continue to invest in the communities where we're at and create more American jobs. And none of that will happen with these tariffs.
And does the U.S. have enough of a demand with these tariffs on equipment and stuff? Does the U.S. have enough of a demand where the companies would be able to sustain through it?
No, we are an export-dependent industry. 30% of all equipment made in the U.S. is destined for export. So that's one-third of all equipment that rolls off the assembly line goes to customers outside of the United States. Canada is our number one export market. And so if we are exporting less equipment overall and certainly less equipment to Canada, that just means that we will be making less equipment. So there really is no other place, generally speaking, where this equipment would go. And, you know, the previous administration spent very little time, if any, negotiating new bilateral or multilateral trading agreements. So there really is no place for this equipment to go. So what it will mean is that production will slow down. And again, that means fewer jobs and less investment.
Eidenberg did say that they have noticed some of the equipment manufacturers here in the U.S. front-loading and shipping out as much equipment to these other countries as possible in preparation for retaliatory tariffs.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Farm women tend to bear a great responsibility for childcare, and the strain is evident. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The stress of owning and operating a farm can be overwhelming. So many things are out of your control. The weather, the markets, the potential for pests and diseases affecting your crops or livestock. There's no shame in talking with a mental health professional. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Farms can be a great environment for kids, but also a dangerous one, which puts even more pressure on the person who is generally the primary child care provider, mom. When rural sociologist Hannah Budge and her colleagues did a health and safety study focusing on farm women, they found that safety was a top concern.
We found that the women were very aware, like, yes, we know there's dangers involved. Like, sometimes I would rather not have my child in the site, but I don't have any option. I've got these children here. They maybe can't access childcare because they maybe can't afford it. They maybe can't access it if they're in a very rural area.
Budge's co-author on the study, Florence Beacott, expands on that.
Over 60% of our rural counties in the U.S. are categorized as a childcare desert. What are we going to do about this? Because again, there are folks who do not want kids to go to daycare, but we've talked to farm parents, is there are plenty who will use it if it was available. So what can we do at the community level, state level, federal level, so that there are more resources available so that people can focus on the farming and have options?
Budge and Beacott return tomorrow. You can learn more about their work on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork.
I'm Daryl Anderson.
About half of us will experience a mental health concern at some point in our lives. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. So let's open up about our mental health on the next New Wisco Weekend.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House passing a budget blueprint, the first step toward a so-called big, beautiful bill that President Trump wants. It includes $4.5 trillion in tax breaks. The U.S. and Ukraine have reached an agreement on a framework for a deal that would include access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals. Close call at Chicago's Midway Airport. A Southwest Airlines jet had to abort a landing moments from touching down when a private jet taxied in front of it. The FAA and NTSB are investigating, but says ABC News contributor and former Marine pilot Steve Ganyard.
Once again, we see that human error may have played a role, whether it was in the cockpit or in the control tower, but it's becoming the most dangerous place for aviation, and that is on the ground.
ABC station WLS says a pilot of the private jet was told to hold short of the runway 9 times. Hamas set to turn over the bodies of 4 dead Israeli hostages today in exchange for Israel's release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. This is ABC News. A 21-year-old from Texas.